This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a Man podcast. That's Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman. All right, that's enough story time with Logan. Let's dive into the actual preview itself. Logan, let's start off with the Commanders offense, which is kind of dominating the narrative here as people are like, are they in a regression? Is it Jaden? Is it the injury? Is it Cliff in a regression? All of these things. We talked about this on the film review show with Philly, that we think a lot of this just has to do with the opponents. They look like teams playing, or an offense playing, some of the best defenses in football. And even in some of those matchups, they've done better than many other teams, including the Pittsburgh game where they put up 27 points. And Logan, have you ever done something or just had like a really rough patch of your schedule, like your life schedule, and you feel really constricted, and you look ahead to the task that's in front of you next after you survive that rough patch, and you just feel freedom? Because that's what it felt like watching the Cowboys defense on film. This is a unit that where there is air to be had. You can run the football on them. This feels much more like watching some of the units that this team put 40 on earlier in the season. That is not to say that they're not talented. It's not to say that Mike Zimmer is not a great coordinator. He's one of the really, you know, kind of godfather, grandfathers of a lot of tenants that are currently in a lot of NFL defenses. Obviously the double A blitz package. So the two linebackers right there over the center, just, you know, threatening over him at all times. So there's a lot to unpack here that we can get into, but this does feel like a chance for the Commanders offense to get back to the high scoring, high output ways that they had earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you described that really well, because it's not like that they're personnel wise, they don't feel bad. You know, they feel like they're fine. And it just feels like they're kind of almost like they're still learning the defense a little bit. Like when you watch some of the coverage stuff, you can tell guys aren't completely on the same page. When they're doing run fits, their nickel players are kind of in a weird bind and they're kind of late to the run fit and there's too much air and they miss a tackle. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Commanders earlier in the year when it comes to some of the run fit stuff where there's a quarter player and he's fitting from depth and it's just too hard of a tackle. They didn't anticipate the run. And so I do think there's a lot of that, but also there's times where they flash, you know, like Micah Parsons will set a great edge and, you know, Mazi Smith and Digizua will kind of like work down line of scrimmage. They'll close it up. They'll bottle it in and the nickel player will come in and make a really nice tackle. You know, Devon Wilson does a great job of that, or Donovan Wilson, excuse me, does a great job of that. So there are plays and there are moments where you're like, oh, this is like good stuff. But I just think the consistency isn't there on a down to down basis. You know, they are kind of this quarters. They play a lot of Tampa 2. They play a lot of cover 3 more than I thought. And man coverage is probably a little bit down for them. And so I just think about, kind of to your point, you know, when Jaden does well, and he does really well when pre-snap, he knows the coverage. Pre-snap, he kind of can identify where the soft spot's going to be and then work through his progression really quickly. And I think that's what this game's going to afford him the opportunity to do. And I think you couple that with the ability to run the football. Because like I said, they do some good stuff in terms of stopping the run. They're physical. They're aggressive downhill. You know, before we're getting on, you talked about Eric Kendricks and kind of how he's got this old man kind of football to him where he's really savvy. He knows how to fit runs. And, you know, like they do a good job. But there are enough opportunities, and I think the Houston game encapsulates this perfectly, where they misfit stuff. They're not on the same page. They're not locked in, and it leads to explosive runs. They miss tackles. And so if B-Rob can get going, and again, we get back to this offense, the Commanders offense gets back to this efficient first down when we're in second and six, we're in second and five, then everything's on the table for Kliff from a play-calling standpoint. I think we're going to see a version of the offense that we saw versus the New York Giants, versus the Bears, versus whoever. And again, this is not an indictment of them as a defensive group. It's just the consistency that we saw versus Philly, versus Pittsburgh. Their interior unit specifically also, I think, you know, the defensive tackles for Pittsburgh, the defensive tackles for Philly are a different caliber of group compared to this. And so all of those things that gave the Commanders offense issues aren't really present here the way that they've been the past couple of weeks. And so it does feel like it's an opportunity to get back on track. Now, you still need to prep. You still need to make sure you make the plays. You still need to make sure you're executing at a really high level and go out and punch these guys in the mouth. But defensively, schematically, personnel-wise, the opportunity feels a little bit less difficult.
Yeah, it's funny because there's like some real, not dichotomies, but there's some real like oxymorons almost in this defense where it's like, I feel like this is a defense that has a lot of team speed but doesn't play necessarily fast. If that makes sense, like they will have guys fly to the football individually, but it's not like they're on you right now in the way that there's the urgency and suddenness of Philly or Pittsburgh where all the windows are really tight and all that kind of stuff. So like you'll have a catch for 20 yards on a crosser and then Donovan Wilson will come down and hit you with some speed. But that speed would have been better applied earlier in the down to not allow the 20-yard crosser in the first place. You know, Mike is his own animal, and we can talk about him and why he's not been quite as impactful in a second. But I also think same thing inside. Like, you'll see Odighizuwa make an incredible, just like quick movement inside, get a sack. But he's also not they're light inside. And so you can move them and you see that show up. And sometimes that's the reason why some of these run fits are a lot harder, in the same way that we talked about earlier in the season with the Commanders, right? Like, Chin's missing tackles. It's like, yeah, the hole's 8 yards wide. It's pretty hard for a safety to do that. And so there's some of that that's happening at times as well. And so it's an interesting defense because Mike Zimmer's great. A lot of their players have really good traits. It doesn't feel like it fits together in any kind of cohesive way.
Yeah, and again, like, that group's been playing in the Dan Quinn defense for a couple of years now. And so, you know, you can tell there's some new rules, some new setups. They are carrying, I don't want to say a lot of volume, but probably more volume than they did with Dan. Like, Dan, you were playing, or when he was the defensive coordinator in Dallas, it's like you were playing a lot of man, you were playing a lot of Tampa 2, and that's what you did. And so now they've got quarters, and quarters has different rules versus different formations and fronts. You've got cover 3, you've got your man, you've got Tampa 2, you've got you mentioned the double A package that he's kind of notarized and brought to the NFL. That's still a big part of them, but that is complicated to do up front, right? And on third down, like, that's a whole install you got to do. And so it just feels like there are times where they're not super locked in on every single detail, not super locked in on exact run fits, not super locked in on exactly how to pass certain things off. And there are times where you're like, that is for sure wrong. That can't be how they're supposed to do it. And there's a guy wide open, like you were talking about on the crosser, for example. Like, usually in quarters, right? So then when there's four guys across the back of the defense, a corner, safety, corner, and the guy's running across the formation, usually the backside safety is supposed to cut that guy, right? But they aren't communicating it well. They aren't on the same page all the time, and it leads to explosive plays. And that's what they're usually supposed to do, but sometimes, depending on the call or depending on the formation, maybe the front side guy is supposed to cut and supposed to play like man. Like, and you can just tell they're not all the way there with some of those details. And I think I think honestly, if the offense was playing better, we wouldn't be talking about the defense as being the 31st worst, you know, run defense, the 29th worst defense in terms of points. I don't think we're talking about them quite that same way. But the fact is, the offense isn't supporting them, and they're having some of these kind of mental breakdowns and miscues. And I think it's leading to a defense that is out on the field way too much and is exposed to more of these opportunities. Because I think when you watch some of the Houston game, like, they do a good job early, right? They kind of, you know, they get a good pass rush going. And again, Houston's offensive line is not good at the moment, or they're not playing well at the moment. And, you know, they do some good things. They create pressure. They create tight window throws. But again, the more they're on the field, the more opportunity the offense has to throw stuff at them, the harder time they have, and the less effective they are.
Yeah. One thing that Houston was able to do to alleviate some of that pressure was get the screen game going. So maybe this week is the week that finally that gets back going for Washington. That'd be cool. They've obviously had a couple weeks to retool it, and or not a couple weeks, but 10 days to retool it. And I'm sure they're working on stuff full speed and practice and all that kind of stuff. And the timing, that's something that Dan talked about in his presser on Wednesday, was, you know, hey, what has been helped by this extra time and by getting to practice again? He's like, the timing of, you know, offensively and defensively, certain route concepts. But we know the screen game is all about timing and coordination, the run game, timing and coordination. So hopefully that is something that can potentially come back. And, you know, or yeah, you wanted to follow up on that real quick?
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the most important thing I take away from watching the Dallas film is, you know, they are what they are. But I look at, you know, kind of watching the Pittsburgh film of the offense, the Philly film of the offense, and say, man, like, they're not executing the way they need to execute. And so when I hear Dan say, oh, yeah, we got more practice time in this week because it's a longer week, guys are fresher, we had 2 days off, we're fresh enough, we can actually practice on Wednesday, we can do what we need to do. That, to me, Dallas is what Dallas is. They're having their issues. But our offensive execution is the thing that drives this. And nothing has illuminated that for me more than like when I was playing and now that when I coach. Like, you can put the best plays in the world in. You can put them all in. You can be the smartest guy on paper. Kyle used to do this, right? It would just be like the perfect play, right? But if
we can't... How could it possibly go wrong?
Right. How could it possibly go wrong? But it was, we didn't know the details. We didn't know exactly how to block it up versus this pressure. We didn't know exactly how to run the route versus this coverage. And now you've given the guys the opportunity to say, hey, let's really lock in on our execution and let's really own this versus all these different fronts and different looks. And that's, to me, like, kind of the stuff you've been talking about with the screen game. That's the stuff you've been talking to me about, you know, with the pass concepts in general. And I think this is the thing, is Dan is always so good at being like, it's about us. And when you talk to Cliff, he's like, it's about our execution. And I think those two things are so good to hear from the offensive play caller and the head coach. And so really, it doesn't really, I mean, it matters what's going on with Dallas. But like, that is the thing that I'm really excited about this week, is we've got more time on task to own and execute this game plan at a high level.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I will also say this, as much as it is about us, so to speak, if you're the offense and that's what you're preaching, to try to get as close to perfection as possible, doesn't have to be quite as perfect against this defense as it did against Pittsburgh or against Philadelphia or against Baltimore or against Cleveland. Like, the margin for error is a lot wider because they're not as good. There is more air. That angle doesn't have to be quite as sharp on that route because the defensive back has given you four extra yards for no good reason, because they're not as good and as locked in on their details. So that should be said as well. One of the things we actually got, I got a YouTube comment earlier in the week that I wanted to bring up. I meant to talk about this, or we meant to talk about this on the Tuesday show, but Terry McLaurin had been on an absolute heater going into that Philly game. And then obviously he does not have a productive day, barely heard from at all. All the wide receivers pretty much barely heard from at all against Philadelphia. What happened, to that end? And then, you know, do we expect a bounce back game from Terry, not just in terms of his production, but in terms of his involvement in the offense and kind of the intentionality with which Cliff had been getting him the football?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm very confident that this is a game that the offense gets back on track. And the reason I say that is for a lot of the reasons we just talked about, you know, with the coverage structures that they're playing, how they're playing them. I know we've talked about this a lot, but Philly was very good. They were very good at playing their coverage structures, at matching concepts, at being on the same page. And there was a lot of stuff that they did that where you could tell they were aware. And I don't know if it was they were aware of Terry specifically, but they were definitely aware of formation and what Cliff liked to do. So when Terry's by himself, he's been killing. He's been doing a great job. So like, we're going to run a slant, but hey, no, we're going to drop a linebacker right underneath that slant. Oh, hey, we're going to run a vertical, but we're going to have a guy underneath that just so the corner can play a little bit higher. And so like, again, I don't know if that was specifically for Terry or if that was based on formation. And that's something you have to talk to Vic Fangio about, but that was a well-coached, well-locked-in group that executed at a high level. And I don't see that same level of detail from the Dallas Cowboys, at least as of right now. And again, people turn around, they can make big, they can make shifts in the, at the end of the year, whatever. But I don't see that from them. So I do think it's just going to be like Cliff's going to call the offense. They're going to run the offense. And with this Cliff Kingsbury offense, we've talked about this before, when they get that momentum, when they get in that no-huddle mode, they kind of start stringing plays together. It simplifies the defense. You're going to find opportunities for Terry, whether that's on vertical routes, whether that's on hitches, whether it's slants, digs, and you're going to be able to get him involved. Now, I don't know if they're going to say we have to get Terry touches in the way that, like, we'll talk about this in a second, but like the way Mike McCarthy in Dallas does with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if that's the best version of this offense, but he'll definitely get involved because I do think the offense will be able to find a rhythm. Like when you look back at the Philly game, it was hard, man. It was like Cliff really had every play call had to be good. Every execution had to be good. That's not going to be the case here. We're going to get in rhythms. We're going to get string plays together and find ways to get Terry touches.
Yeah, I don't think the best version of this offense has CeeDee Lamb like going or CeeDee Lamb levels of touches for Terry. However, I do think that there is clearly something between what happened in the Philly game and a CeeDee Lamb level that is a happy medium. And I appreciate that Cliff has a players not plays approach. And Dan also has some level of that of like, we got to get our studs the ball. And so that while it can happen for a game, I just think that as long as this administration is here, there will not be these extended droughts for their best players in terms of production, because they know that's not how you win. They are very good at not losing the forest through the trees. And so I don't know how, what that's going to look like. I would try to be getting Terry on some slants and some digs and like some horizontal stuff. Obviously you're going to try to get him vertical some, but like Dallas will give you that air and that space horizontally if you can get him into the teeth of the defense, hit him in stride and let him run. In the way that we saw the RPO against Pittsburgh, you know, that hey Terry, we're gonna give you another one of those, and this time don't get caught. Joey Porter Jr. Ran him down, obviously. So I think that getting him some of those opportunities is going to be key, and it's something that I think that they absolutely will be trying to do, and it's something that I think they probably will do with some level of success, probably a high level of success on Sunday.
No, I 100% agree. And I 100% agree with that. And I think they'll get him touches. The other thing I wanted to point out too, and you talked about this in the last question, was, you know, like you think it'll be easier to execute schematically. You know, it'll be easier to kind of get on rhythm. And I also think like the one-on-one matchups in this game are a little bit more favorable for the Commanders offense. You know what I mean? That's something else we haven't really talked about specifically up front, where it's like against Philly, against Pittsburgh, you got some absolute war daddies on the defensive line inside. And I think this defense, this offensive line does really well when it's like, hey, you know, we can run our pin pull stuff. We can get after guys. And I think that when you look at Odighizuwa, a really good pass rusher, I think Mazi Smith is playing better than people think. But again, you know, not playing to the same level as like Jalen Carter or, you know, the dude from Pittsburgh or, you know, whoever it is, right? Like, I think those interior matchups are going to be so much more favorable for Washington this week. And that's something that I just wanted to kind of point out and just double click on. Like, yeah, we're going to get Terry touches, but I do think managing that interior defensive line, specifically in the run game, is going to help B-Rob be efficient, help Austin be efficient. And when those guys are super efficient, the offense is super efficient. And then all of a sudden, those touches to Terry are more important. The quick game becomes more impactful. The keeper play action game becomes more impactful. So that's something I just wanted to point out too, is like you mentioned individual matchups are better. And those are probably two of the most important individual matchups that I think Washington will be able to exploit.
Last but not least on this Cowboys defense, and certainly not least, in fact, he's the number one thing that'll be in the meeting this week. What do you do with number 11? And is that easier now than it was, say, when these two teams matched up last year and the guy in the backwards hat was calling plays for Dallas versus being the head coach in Washington?
Yeah, it definitely seems easier than it was last year. I mean, last year, I think Dan did such a good job of being like knowing what Micah did really well and finding him good matchups. Like there's times where he's lined up over the center. He's lined up as a three technique. He's lined up as a five, you know, so like outside shoulder to the tackle, or he's lined up as an off ball backer and he's on a stunt coming in. And so it's like, how do we target this rush? And so some of that stuff you see this year with Frankie Louvu, and how productive has Frankie been kind of rushing from all these different spots? Same thing with Dorrance Armstrong or Fowler, like just giving guys opportunities
Payne's
to attack
some more on the
pass rusher with Yeah, but just attacking with more varied angles and giving the tackles different stuff to think about, or the offensive line different stuff to think about. Now with Zimmer, I think Zimmer's a really, really outstanding defensive coach, but it seems like Micah's lining up kind of almost exclusively on the defensive left, so over the right tackle. And again, Micah is a beast. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. You know, definitely top three, I would say, you know, depending on who you talk to, depending on the year, but he is a dominant, dominant player. And that's great. Dominant. He's going to dominate who's ever over there. But the good thing for an offense is if you know he's going to light up on the right, we can know how to send our protections. We can know how to send, where to send our chip out formationally. We know how to, whether we want to run at him or run away from him, we can kind of get that all called up because we know he's not going to be moving around the front as much. So I had a conversation at the combine with an offensive line coach, and he was like, oh yeah, we had a great plan for Micah Parsons a couple of years ago. And all we did was just make sure he was either getting chipped or sifted. So where the tight end lines up. So if Micah's on the defensive left, the tight end would be on the right. You come back across the formation and you just cut him down. It's like, we just try to do that as much as possible so that he was thinking and kind of not being aggressive up the field because he didn't want to get cut. And now that opportunity becomes even easier because you understand where he is all the time. And I think that's something that is really important and a variable that I think, while he's a dominant football player, makes him somewhat easier to manage. It reminds me of like when Myles Garrett, we played against Myles Garrett in 2017 when I was with Atlanta. And we were so worried about him, but he always lined up on the offensive left. And so you kind of knew, like, the protection side goes this way. We want to run away from him, so we're always going to run to the right. And you just could manage that a little bit differently. And I think that's going to be very helpful in this matchup versus Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys, because you know where he's going to be every single play.